time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, we're rolling along on a Thursday. I'm Vanessa Richardson. Josh Beard is in for Paul Gallant, as Paul is going to finally take some vacation days so you guys can stop coming at me acting like I take nothing but vacation days. Sean Mapes behind the glass, as always, and we got a lot to get to today. Some fun stuff with the Astros as they prepare to play the Yankees. Not so fun topics involving Deshaun Watson, but noteworthy nonetheless. And then, of course, the Rockets draft tonight. And Roger Goodell testifying before Congress, and oh boy, was it awkward. But we're happy to have you here with us on 97.5, 92.5. You can hear us on the ESPN app, and you can see our pretty faces on Twitch. Josh, welcome.
Thanks. I'm excited to be here today with you because the last time I got to sit in with you, we had an amazing show. It was a very expedited 30-minute show because of my Aggies had to preempt.
It was basketball, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And they ended up winning, which is totally fine with me. But yeah, we had a 30-minute show last time, so I'm excited to be here for the full two hours.
The full 2 hours, which is still one of the shorter shows, but a lot better than 30 minutes.
You need to keep nudging, be like, hey, why is our show one of the shorter shows?
Yeah, well, we have a lot of fun. We have a good lineup. and when I look at the guys that do the afternoon show, and I know that the wheelhouse, I know that that's three people, 4 hours is aggressive.
Yeah.
That's hard. Sean, could you produce? What would it be like producing for 4 hours?
Yeah, the idea that Andrew produces literally twice as long as I do, and I've filled in and stuff, and their rundown, it just goes on forever. I don't understand how they keep it organized in any way.
I don't understand either.
So I'll throw one even farther out there. I used to produce a 4 hour show for Paul Gallant. And only Paul. It was me and Paul for four straight hours.
What was this at the flagship?
That was at the flagship. Yeah, that was back in the day, another time.
You were Paul's producer.
I was his cohort slash pseudo co-host slash sidekick slash producer. Yeah, yeah. And so I produced for 4 hours for Paul. So that's why I can tell when he's not paying attention to me.
So what's it like producing for Paul for 4 hours? Four hours of Paul?
Paul and I, here's one of the biggest problems, and to peel back the curtain of how, a radio show is made.
Exclusive access.
Yeah, Paul and I were too similar sometimes, so it was great for us. He really became my radio brother. We had a blast. We had fun all the time. The problem was we were too similar sometimes. And so we'd let ourselves go off on these random, you're doing a 4 hour show. By hour three, we're like, what did you think about that episode of Game of Thrones?
Sure.
Let me do that for a couple of segments. You know what I mean? So sometimes we go off the rails a little bit, but it was great. I loved it. I love Paul.
The 4 hour shows are an interesting dynamic, and you do understand why you tune in and you hear a full segment on what your favorite type of pie is. We get off the rails a little bit here, but not that badly. So Roger Goodell testifying before Congress. Out of all the things, I will say this, out of all the things going on in this country, we got some serious stuff going on. We got some issues with there's apparently a war still going on, which I think the COVID, I don't know what the situation with the COVID is, but there's some issues with women's rights and some division. And yet the Congress is hearing about the Washington Commanders football team. Seems a little bit iffy of a choice with taxpayers' money, but I guess it gives us content. Commissioner Roger Goodell did testify before Congress. He told the committee the team's culture has transformed and that, quote, Dan Snyder has been held accountable. He was asked by Rashida Tlaib, representative from Michigan, whether he would remove Snyder as an owner, which, no offense, tells you how much they know about the NFL, because a commissioner cannot remove an owner. The owners are the commissioner's bosses. And so Goodell said, I don't have the authority to remove him because, of course, it has to be three-quarters majority vote. Well, this was a mess.
It was very
awkward.
I tried to watch the entire – because I think if you go back on YouTube, you can go back, and if you really want to, you can watch the entire thing. It's 2.5 hours long. I think – The questioning process for Roger Goodell was about 2 hours. But yeah, it was a nightmare to watch because sometimes they were asking questions to Roger Goodell about the Washington Commanders and the toxic workplace environment and the allegations and the things that Dan Snyder did. And that was fine. But again, it kept coming back to Roger Goodell's, like, I feel like we handled this appropriately. I feel like we doled out the punishment that we needed to dole out. If more stuff comes out from this committee, then we're prepared to have even more punishments. But he essentially had to keep answering the same question time after time after time. And then half the other 50% of the time, they used it as just a – it was just a bunch of snipes. It's like sitting at a dinner with like a WASP family, just really passive-aggressive jabs at each other across
the
aisle.
Midwest, I know passive-aggressive
WASP.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's my culture, baby.
That's same here. So like,
wow, that is a really bright and bold shirt, Vanessa. Interesting choice.
This is what my grandma would always say. My grandma would always say, oh, it looks like you're eating really well.
Yeah.
Honey. I'm like, okay.
Oh.
But this the worst part about
the eating disorders caused by that, but I digress. Please
yeah,
go.
Yeah.
Please.
But
you don't have time for my therapy.
It was really, really awkward watching. And the worst part, I think, about this especially was seeing how often any one of them interrupted Goodell. He couldn't even get a full answer out. At one point, one of the representatives was questioning him. He started to answer, and the guy cut him off in about 5 seconds into his answer. And Goodell finally goes, can I finish, please?
Right.
And I'm like, I can't believe he went as long as he did without saying that. So, yeah, it's a huge mess. And the NFL feels like they handled the situation well. I don't know what Congress can do through this investigation, because you're right. He can't remove Dan Snyder as an owner. I think it would take – it'd take a lot for the other owners in the NFL to even come to the conclusion that Dan Snyder would need to be removed. We all know that the Washington Commanders have problems. We all know he's a problematic owner. But what more was Roger Goodell and the NFL supposed to do?
Roger Goodell specifically, I totally agree with you. So what happens next? Dan Snyder has been subpoenaed. He is on a boat in France, is I think what the story was.
I would be too right
with
now.
His wife, who is the definition of stand by your man.
Oh, man.
I mean, good Lord. You know your husband's a horn dog.
Especially, think about how much money she could get in a divorce right now.
True. I think a lot of these women that are married to these really successful guys, which clearly, if you see this, how broke I am. I am not one of those women. But I think the mindset probably becomes, all right, look, I'll turn the blind eye. Meanwhile, I never have to work again. Got a couple cute kids. I get to go to Nantucket whenever I'd like.
Yeah.
With the girls.
I'm the exact opposite. Look at Jeff Bezos' ex-wife. Look how much money she got. She's living large. She could go find a cabana boy.
Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes to go the cabana boy.
Go find.
Come here, Rodrigo.
Go find a nice Hello. Young man who's going to treat you
yes.
right. He's got a six-pack. He's feeling good. Have you seen what Dan Snyder looks like?
Ugh, I know.
No. This is like the perfect clean slate moment to move on, and she's not taking it. I feel like it's a missed opportunity.
Somebody on Twitch said, who wouldn't want to be in France on a yacht right now?
Right.
Yeah, for maybe for a couple days, but it gets old. And here's the thing. Eventually, obviously, he got subpoenaed. Dan Snyder got subpoenaed yesterday. So eventually he's going to have to answer for some of these sins. Might as well do it now. I don't know. I don't get it. I stay out of politics for the most part. But if you're in Washington, D.C., and that is your location, I would say you should probably check yourself before you wreck yourself. What stood out to me, an NFL owner can only be removed by 3/4 majority vote of fellow owners. I think I knew that. But when I read the NFL Network article on it, it was like a reminder of how much this would actually take.
Right.
Do you guys, and I'm interested in Josh and, of course, Sean Mapes behind the glass, your opinion on this. Do you think that Dan Snyder could be removed of an owner as an owner? Do you think Dan Snyder could be removed as an owner because it would take 3/4 majority vote of fellow owners? When you look at some of the things that Robert Kraft allegedly has done, some of the situations Jerry Jones is in currently with the, again, alleged child out of wedlock, do you think that it could get to the point to where these fellow owners say, look, we can't stand Dan Snyder. We don't like Dan Snyder, and we don't like how he treats women, allegedly, et cetera, et cetera. But, man, we don't want our sins coming forward either. So let's just do the Congress thing, take a breather, hire a PR team. I mean, what would it actually take?
A lot. I don't think there's any chance it would ever happen specifically because of that reason. I don't think they would ever want to set the precedent. It's happened before, right? We've seen it. We saw it with the 49ers in 2000. The owner had to sell the team. He ended up selling the team to his family. We've seen it multiple other times. But it would take, I mean, he was literally, he was indicted on felony charges and he went to jail because of it, right? So it would literally take felony charges and the owner's hands being forced for Dan Snyder to be removed. But if it's allegations, civil cases, and things like that, it'll never happen because they never want to set the precedent. I mean, we already saw with the Deshaun Watson case, that's already been brought up. Well, what about, you know, the Players Association was trying to form the argument in light of unprecedented suspension to Deshaun Watson. Well, what about Robert Kraft? What about Jerry Jones? And they never want those whataboutisms to come up.
Right.
They want that stuff to stay hidden. And I don't think there's any chance, unless it's felony charges or something more, that they would try to vote Dan Snyder.
That's a good point. What do you think, Sean?
Yeah, I think it reminds me of when Donald Sterling got kicked out of the NBA, mm-hmm. and Mark Cuban was kind of against it, or he went along with it, but he raised some red flags of like, what are we, like, this is a slippery slope of we're going to boot this guy for this controversy, and then the implicit, like, what about if something happens to me? Can I get booted out? And so I think that's what makes it hard, that you just need, what, 8 owners to be like, I got some skeletons in my closet, or maybe I'm afraid that I'm going to get, you know, whatever, framed for it.
Yep.
Like Daniel Snyder, like if they think Daniel Snyder's somehow innocent or whatever.
Circle protects the circle.
Yes, exactly. There's going to be some honor amongst thieves.
I have a few people I have that are acquaintances that are in, you know, powerful positions in sports or in law or whatever, in entertainment. Not very many. But you do see the circle protects the circle.
Yes.
These guys may not like each other, okay? But they all know things about each other that they would not want out. And so that's what leads. This could be fun, though. It could be like a game of survival, because you could have like the Haslams and the Maras and like the Browns from the Bengals all in one corner. Like, so what do you guys want to do? Like, do you want to form an alliance?
Yeah, it'd be sweet, like reality TV. As long as we can get camera crews, for sure. I'd pay for like a new NFL Plus app. NFL Plus, where you get Survivor owner.
It's a gonna be business
great.
Idea.
Yeah.
That's a great
idea. We just came
idea.
Up with a TV show.
Yeah, all the owners' meetings get televised, so they look like the scene in The Godfather where there's some enemies that I have, and I have a good memory. And Jerry Jones is, you know, lightly threatening some people about, like, hey, we don't want to start this precedent, all right?
But I want real survival,
yeah.
Survivors. So I want them to not have cell phones and mm-hmm. no personal assistance. None of that, because these people by day 2 are going to be going crazy. You mean I have to wipe my own butt?
Yeah, I actually want to go even farther. I don't want it to be like Survivor. I want it to be an episode of Naked and Afraid and just drop Jerry Jones and Bob Kraft on an island with no clothes. They have to fend for themselves. That's what I want. NFL Plus, call me.
We've already come dangerously close to seeing Robert Kraft naked before, so I think we're good.
The good news, guys, is we're going to bring this subject back up at 10:30 because I have now changed our NFL topic of the day to an owner's show would want. So you guys, what style of show would you want with NFL owners? Would you want Naked and Afraid? Please don't say that, because most of them are over 60.
Definitely Naked and Afraid.
And you have
That's
issues. No offense. Would you want a game show style? Would you want Survivor? Let us know. Text in the show, 713-780-ESPN. Coming up, we're going to touch on the Astros. And then Tom Pelissero had some interesting things to say about the Deshaun Watson case. That's next.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Hall of Fame, Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
That ball's destroyed. Second deck on a line. This guy is in a different world. Air Jordan. Just give him player of the month already.
Yeah, give him player of the month. Give him player of the year. Jordan Alvarez just continuing to crush balls as the season continues. The Astros winning last night versus the Mets 5-3. Their series against these New York teams continues with a date with the Yankees. I love it. I got to tell you, obviously, I'm on Team Astros, but kind of the hate and the vitriol between the Astros and the Yankees and the fans, I think, has been good for the game, good for baseball.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for the game tonight.
Well, I, you know, I, I it, one of the things for the longest time, as somebody who came into Astros fandom about a decade ago, right? I first came in whenever they still had Willie Taveras. Young Jose Altuve was just starting to make his name as a prospect and move up into the lineup and stuff like that. And I didn't really ever feel like I know Astros fans say they have had their rivals, but at that time when I was becoming a fan, I didn't really feel like they really had a rival other than like maybe the Cardinals because Astros fans are mad and they thought about the history, right. But I never really felt like they had that natural one because I wasn't there for a lot of those other things. And I thought, okay, maybe when they come to the AL West, they're going to be able to establish some of those rivalries, right? You move to the American League,
yeah.
And the natural rivalry with the Rangers. But the Rangers haven't been good since Josh Hamilton couldn't get them past a World Series and Nelson Cruz dropped a ball, right? Like, they were one drop Nelson Cruz ball away from a World Series win, and then they fell off the map, and they've been mediocre ever since. So that's – you can't have a rivalry with a bad team. That's just disappointing. And so it's been nice for the Astros. I mean, yeah, there's kind of a rivalry between Astros and Astros fans and all of the MLB.
But right now because of the scandal.
Right, yeah. But specifically Astros-Yankees and Astros-Dodgers have been so much fun. And so to have this New York series, you know, we talked about coming into this nine-game stretch, so how it was weirdly formulated, who the heck made the schedule. It's weird to play the Mets twice, Yankees, then the Mets, and then the Yankees again. But it's been fun to go into New York and play against the Mets, which is a team you don't get to see the Astros play against often, and just absolutely decimate them. I mean, a team people are talking about this year is, oh, they're one of the best. They've got their pitchers are banged up and they're still finding a way to win. Didn't matter, especially because of Yordan. And now to go into this series against the Yankees and start this next few games against the Yankees, I can't wait. I cannot wait for Saturday. I think Saturday's matchup is going to be great. I'm really, really excited. And to your point, like Yordan winning, there's absolutely an argument for him to win at tons of accolades this year. How often do you see a guy sign a contract the way Yordan did, right? And either
they
just keep doing what they're doing or they fall off the map. Yordan's not doing either of those things. Yordan's like, oh, I have the money now. Let's just pump it up a little bit and make everybody feel better about the investment. And I love it.
Both teams, Yankees and the Astros, enter the game tonight with double-digit leads in their division. So what a lot of folks are saying is this could be a battle, kind of a preview of an October playoff battle, which I would love. Again, I moved to Houston in 2019. So the Astros and Yankees, and then like you said, the Astros and Dodgers, those really are kind of those rivalries that I think of with the Astros. I don't think of the Rangers as a rival.
No.
I don't think, you know, I wasn't obviously around when it was the Cardinals and all that. So to me, this is one of their big rivals. The other cool thing about the fact that it's the Dodgers and the Yankees, and this is Paul and Sean make fun of my sports media nerdness, but when you look at market sizes, Houston is a huge market media-wise. I mean,
right.
It's a top 10 market for television and radio. When you look at sports, it's not quite a small market, right? It's not like it's freaking Green Bay or like Indianapolis or Cincinnati. It's still big, but New York and LA and Chicago are known as like the big markets, right? So I like that Houston has kind of become a rival to the two biggest markets. You're talking about New York and you're talking about LA. That brings me joy and I love it. It's a little bit of an underdog type mentality.
Yeah, I think Houston has this really cool thing where it's a rabid fan base for the teams in the city, but it does feel a little bit smaller than we think it would, or when people come here they're surprised that it feels like a smaller market vibe. I think that's because there's so many different transplants and such. It's such a
there's a blue collar vibe,
right? Exactly, yeah. And it's great. That's a great. I love the blue collar vibe. I always lean more towards the blue collar vibe. Maybe because I've never really spent a substantial amount of time up in the Northeast. I've lived in the South and I've lived in the Midwest. I've only ever lived in blue collar areas.
Where did you live in the Midwest?
I lived in Omaha. I lived in Nebraska for a few years. Yeah, and so like
corn-fed.
I did spend almost 2 years in Monterey, California, which some could argue is a really hoity-toity posh part of the country.
Yeah, you left that part out.
But it was only 2 years. I was in the military. I was in training, and I kept my humble.
Thank you for your service.
I kept my humble vibes going. I kept my roots. I actually went to the Neiman Marcus in San Francisco one time with my camo baseball cap on. You remember when people used to wear fish hooks on the bill of their hat?
I did when I dressed as Larry the Cable Guy for Halloween. Thank you. Go ahead.
I did that for real in real life. And I walked into the Neiman Marcus in San Francisco with a camo baseball cap on and a fish hook on it. People were following me the entire time.
They thought you were going to steal something.
Like, we should, I out loud, I just went, we should probably leave this fine establishment real fast. And then we left. So I kept the humble vibes going even then. But there, I do love that, like, that real, that kind of smaller vibe. It feels better as a fan base where you don't get too ahead of yourself. I feel like the Northeast teams, especially like Boston, New York, L.A., they just feel like they're so much better than everybody
else.
And
it's the same with media members there.
Yes.
And quite frankly, do we want to make it really generic? It's the same with people there.
Yeah,
there's nothing like New York. No, nothing like New York. Does it sound like that?
That's not bad. Perfect. I don't
Thank
know.
You.
I would look. I'm
no.
I,
just let
Sean's being nice.
Sean's smart. Sean fills my head with compliments, even when he doesn't mean it.
I'm a realist. It's not bad.
Okay,
it
how could about use L.A.? A little,
That's
I
here
just
we go.
Actually, feel like honestly, like I started eating kale. And on, I lost like 20 pounds. So much more comfortable, like going to the beach and Beverly Hills. Nose job set for next Tuesday.
We asked you about the Dodgers. Why did you start talking about, like, that's what it'd be.
That's true.
We asked you a question about the Dodgers. Yeah. My nose job's going to be real grand.
Right. Boobs.
Sean. Do California people just say that out loud? That's crazy.
I don't know.
Mutter it under their breath.
Yeah, I have no.
It's a punctuation mark.
I really have only lived in like Indiana, Ohio, Houston.
Yeah,
so
you don't understand those vibes, right?
When I covered the Super Bowl, oh boy, it was fun in Los Angeles, but I was like, who are these people?
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson. Let's talk about Deshaun Watson, somebody that moved to a blue-collar state, Ohio, hey-o. And is going to play for the Cleveland Browns at some point. We don't know what that suspension is going to be yet. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, Tom Pelissero was on Pat McAfee's show. I thought he had some interesting points about that potential punishment and what it could be.
Now, certainly, I mean, you can make logical connections to, in particular, Robert Kraft and what he had went through several years ago, but it's still a different disciplinary process, and it's one that's collectively bargained. So the issue is not merely fairness. It's also about what is being collectively bargained. And it's a new process. I think this is the part that like has not gotten enough attention. It's not the NFL handing down discipline now. It's the NFL and the NFLPA both making their argument about what the discipline should be. And then it's a former federal judge who is going to make that initial disciplinary decision. Both sides can appeal the initial disciplinary decision. This is the first time it's happened in a high profile case before. My sense would be that it's unlikely that you're going to see substantive change upon an appeal, that the discipline is probably going to be the discipline in this case. But it's also, you know, outside the scope of anything that that we've seen so far. The 20 civil settlements that they reached in the past several days here that were done last fall, and they just finally are getting finalized now. Certainly would advance the ball in terms of them having their arms wrapped around this thing.
So that was Tom Pelissero. What he brought up, we had talked a little bit about this yesterday, but I do think it's interesting. People think Roger Goodell is the one with the punishment. It's this neutral arbitrator that was part of the collective bargaining agreement. So I think that makes it even that more unpredictable.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I mean, I feel like I've talked ad nauseum about my thoughts on what should happen with Deshaun Watson. And the one thing that I keep hearing, and I've heard it over the last couple of days since, you know, Tuesday we found out that 20 of the cases had been settled. And the one thing that I keep hearing and that just really bothers me so much is as we've heard, Deshaun Watson's camp was preparing for a one-year suspension. The NFL, there were rumors that they're looking at a one-year suspension. And everybody keeps using the phrase unprecedented. That's an unprecedented. No, we have precedent for it to be that long. In fact, we have precedent for it to be even longer.
Really?
Yeah. So think about Ben Roethlisberger. I brought this up the other day, but I feel like it's important to bring
up.
See,
when I say unprecedented, I mean the number of cases.
Right. Well, the number of cases is unprecedented. Yeah, yeah. A lot of people are talking about unprecedented punishment, though. That's where this a year that's unprecedented. I'm sorry. Calvin Ridley just got banned for a year for a bet, which I get. I understand that's actually written in the bylaws. But people are saying that this being suspended for a year because of allegations against Deshaun Watson of civil cases is unprecedented. Well, we know Ben Roethlisberger got banned for 6 games. He got a 6-game suspension for two that were settled. And if Deshaun Watson, I bring this up again, that's 3 games per case, right? Per allegation. If Deshaun Watson got the precedent, it'd be 3 games for each civil case he has against him. So I don't want to hear anybody talk about unprecedented. I don't want to hear anybody talk about what he should get, or there's this guy. I'm not even going to put his name on out on Twitter. There's a guy on Twitter. He's an attorney. He's a part of Brown's Twitter, but he used the term lynching, that this was a lynching of Deshaun Watson.
Whoa.
Yeah, which is a really overly strong term. He said that this was a witch hunt, that there's no, this is too much. Deshaun Watson, he said Deshaun Watson's already been punished. He didn't play for a year. I'm sorry, Deshaun Watson made the decision not to play for the Texans for that year.
Not the same thing.
Right, exactly.
No.
And so the people like that keep coming out and saying that, oh, this is too much. A year is too long. I think he should get longer. As long as he gets at least a year, I'd prefer to never see him play football again. Yeah. At a minimum, I'd love to see him get 3 games for every allegation, but I will be fine if they give him a year.
I think a year is what it's going to end up being in that neutral arbitrator, man. That's going to be a huge, huge storyline. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, 78 days until the NFL season. Let's go back to that owner show. What style of show would you like to see for the NFL owners? That's next.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Vanessa and Gallant.
All right, we're rolling along. Wow, timing is great. But shout out, I like the music bed a lot. 78 days until the NFL regular season kicks off. We, of course, are excited. We have training camp before then. We have the meaningless preseason games that all the veterans hate. And then we will have actual real-life football. Every day, Paul Gallant picks the jersey number of the amount of days. So today, of course, we have Josh Beard filling in for Paul Gallant. Hi, Josh.
Hi.
Who is your 78, number 78 pick?
Well, 78 I'm excited about. I think this is a good number. I actually have two picks for this.
Oh.
I couldn't choose between them because they're both Hall of Famers. They're both incredible in their own right. And I couldn't pick. I'm very excited for tomorrow, and I'm going to cheat. And I'll tell you tomorrow how I'm going to cheat. But with 78, I'm picking Bruce Smith, number one. Defensive end, all-time great defensive end. And number two, I'm picking Anthony Munoz.
It's a strong one.
Anthony Munoz from the Cincinnati Bengals, longtime Cincinnati Bengal, the first player in the NFL of Latin descent to make it to the Hall of Fame, which is incredible. So I'm picking both Bruce Smith and Munoz.
Also great. I worked in Cincinnati for 2 years. Amazing in the community, family guy, super fun. So strong picks by you.
Yeah.
We're off to a good start. 78 days until the NFL season.
Who's better, me or Paul, at picking jerseys? You have to choose.
Well, you have another week. You have another week to make your case. So it better come in strong.
Well, I don't like that you didn't answer that.
No Patriots.
I feel like you just, Paul. I know.
We're on day one.
But I feel like my two picks were strong enough to put me. It's fine. Whatever. It's fine. We'll do it.
It takes a while.
Okay.
It takes a while.
All right.
All right. So yesterday, Roger Goodell had to go in front of, was it Congress, the Senate, the state? Was it the president? He was involved in politics yesterday and had to testify in front of Congress with all seriousness about a serious subject involving the Washington football team. I did want to play this. Jim Jordan, representative from Ohio, decided to, in reality, probably try to get reelected, but he said that this was in the name of the people. Ask NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell why Barstool founder Dave Portnoy is not allowed at games.
Recognize. Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner, you believe in the First Amendment, don't you?
I do.
I mean, all parts of it, all rights we have, your right to practice your faith, your right to petition the government, right to assemble, freedom of press, freedom of speech. You believe in all that.
Yes, Congressman.
Why do you ban Dave Portnoy from NFL games?
Pardon me, I couldn't hear your question.
Why do you ban Dave Portnoy from NFL games? He's a journalist. In fact, he's not a sports journalist. Why is he banned?
Congressman, I'm not familiar with that issue. I'm happy to check with my staff, but I'm not aware of that. Yes.
Do you think he even knows, like, Portnoy's name?
I do think that he's probably aware of the Barstool culture because they started these shirts that are him as a clown.
Yeah, which is hilarious because, I mean, there have been full-on games he's been to where entire sections of the crowd were wearing those Goodell clown shirts.
So I think he's probably familiar that he's not liked within the Barstool community. Do I think that he's on Twitter? Do I think that he cares? Do I think that he thinks about it? Absolutely not.
No.
Also, that is not how the First Amendment works.
Yeah, I love that.
So that was just a huge issue in and of itself.
I love that. The conflating of two separate things. Like, oh, Okay, do you believe, just setting him up, the setup was like, do you believe in free speech? Yeah. Do you believe that our country is founded on free speech? For sure I do. Then why, as a private entity, are you not allowing a troublemaker to come in and make trouble for you? I was at the Atlanta Super Bowl when Barstool and Dave Portnoy snuck in to the press conferences that they were holding. When they had like the team meetings over at, I can't remember the arena where the Hawks play, but they had it over at the arena where the Hawks play. They were doing the interview with Tom Brady. The famous Tom Brady talking about his dad, how his dad is his hero interview came from that Super Bowl.
Right, that's right.
But the Dave Portnoy and the guys from Barstool snuck into that, got in trouble, and got kicked. I was there when I was standing like 3 feet, that's four awesome. Feet away from him when he got kicked out, when he got caught and kicked out. Well, they do nothing but cause trouble. They make trouble for the NFL all the time. Why would a private entity allow a troublemaker to come in? The thing, I guess, yeah, he's a journalist in the fact that he's done...
He's a personality.
He's done more for pizza than any single person in the world, I think, as a journalist. But other than that, like, he's only an entertainer. He is only, like, I don't consider myself a journalist. I have a degree in journalism. I have done journalism before.
The lines are convoluted now.
Yeah, they definitely are. Like, I'm not a guy who's going to go out, like, you're an investigative journalist. Sure. That's your background.
Like,
You've done that.
I'll dig stuff up and I'll ruin you.
Right. I don't like doing that. You would dig stuff up on Roger Goodell.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I would write an article about how Roger Goodell looks like a poo-poo head. Like, those are two complete, I'm an entertainer, I'm not a journalist, right? That's what, Dave Portnoy is more me and less Vanessa. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. He's more on this side of the aisle. So it's ridiculous that Jim Jordan tried to do that.
I agree. I also, Sean, you look like you have thoughts. What were your thoughts on this situation?
Josh really hit the nail on the head of, like, yeah, no, he's a troublemaker. You're a private entity. It's like saying, like, well, don't the streakers that run on the middle of the field?
Right.
Why are you kicking them out? They deserve a right to assemble. It's like, no, they don't.
But they don't. Yeah.
Well, I saw a guy at a Walmart dressed in a bear costume to make himself look like an oversized stuffed bear.
Help.
Was hanging out in a bunch of stuffed animals. He would throw things at people in the Walmart, and then he'd hide again. He got kicked out.
Sure.
Why? Because he's throwing things at other customers in a private business. Like, yeah, of course that's going to happen. Dave Portnoy is just a large, overstuffed bear throwing things at NFL employees.
That's a great point. Choices have consequences. I give Barstool all the credit in the world for the way that they've built their brand.
Yes, agreed.
But choices have consequences.
Yeah, and I think we can both say it. I understand why the NFL bans them from events. And I also think it's hilarious when they sneak into events.
It's incredible.
I like the Tom and Jerry aspect.
I like that. Speaking of Tom and Jerry, an NFL owner show. So you have the Maras, you have Steve Bisciotti from the Ravens, you have the Browns from the Bengals, you have Cal McNair, you have Jim Irsay, you have all of the NFL owners. Let's go, for all intents and purposes, let's go with majority owners, because there are some teams that have minority. Let's go with majority owners. What style of show would you want to see, NFL owners? For me, I'm going with Survivor. I want to see all of the majority NFL owners on an island with no cell phone. They don't get their personal assistance. They don't have anybody to do their laundry. They don't have any of the nice meals that they have, the 5-star meals a day. And they have to form allyships. I want NFL owner Survivor's edition. Who would win? I don't know. I feel like Jerry Jones can be really manipulative. Yeah. And, like, he's gotten his way with Roger Goodell a lot. I feel like he would probably find a way.
He's got it.
All of that. I would want Survivor.
I think that'd be great. I think Jerry Jones would be a strong pick, but I think he's a little bit too overt with his manipulation sometimes.
It's a good point.
I think Robert Kraft would have the best chance because he's always smiling.
Ooh.
He's as manipulative, but he's that baby face type of manipulative. And if we know anything about Survivor, guys come into Survivor and think it's the physicality is what's going to win it. No, it's the mind games and the manipulation. And the baby face manipulators almost always end up being the ones who win. So I think Robert Kraft would be my guy. Here's my pick, since you guys so very disappointingly told me we couldn't do Naked and Afraid with the NFL owners.
And I like older guys, but not that old.
But I'll play within the rules that you've set for me. There was a game show in 2008. It ran for 2 seasons called The Moment of Truth, where contestants would get hooked up to a lie detector machine, and they would get asked questions they had to tell the truth to. I want the moment of truth, but with the owners, where these owners come in, they get hooked up to a lie detector, and then we, like, we just, the crowd, the crowdsource questions for each of them. Like, Jerry Jones, how many illegitimate children? Well, I guess you can't have, it has to be a yes or no question.
Yeah. Like, do you have
multiple illegitimate children, Jerry? And then he has to say yes or no, and then the lie detector would pick it up. But that's what I want. I want the moment of
truth. Sean, what say you?
Well, with the quarterback movement that we've seen the last few years, this actually would have been a really yucky version of this, but we could do some sort of bachelorette or bachelor where the owners all, I mean, we basically saw this with Deshaun Watson, where Deshaun Watson has these teams make their case to him personally, and he hands out a rose to Atlanta.
He'll say this rose will be legendary.
Yeah. And he hands it to whatever, New Orleans, and then, you know, the Cleveland Browns basically grovel, and then they ultimately win. And think about how shocking the finale would be, because we all thought he was going to Atlanta, hometown, that he nailed the hometown interviews, and then, you know, the Browns just snuck in the back door.
We'll and see. Then at the last minute, he's in the limo, and he's heading to New Orleans or yes. to the Falcons, and he's like, man, I've been thinking about the Haslams.
Yeah. Turn the car around. I got to go back. Yeah, I also like the opposite, though, too. Like, I would like the opposite where, or I guess not the opposite, but just a little different. You actually have a bachelorette, and all of these owners are vying for her love. Yeah.
But all of them never get told no. So the second they got rejected, it would just be like, all right, on to the next 40-year-old single mom.
Interesting to see how much of them would get how many of them would get rejected, though. Like, how many would she try to keep around? Right. Because they've all got lots of money, and we would just see old men try to ply a young girl with all sorts of gifts.
All I need to go to is Buffalo Wild Wings if I want that. Somebody said, are you smarter than a fourth grader? That's a good one.
I also thought with all the like nepotism in the owner ranks, a version of Family Feud would be fun.
Oh, yeah.
All the idiot sons trying to guess things.
Do you know who your actual dad is? Who put that in there?
Yeah, Stephen Jones versus Cal McNair. I want to see that. Yeah, let's go.
I mean, the content.
And Steve Harvey has to host.
Yeah, 100%.
No question. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Galan, it was a rough day for one NFL franchise's fans. Plus, who hacked a local legend? We try to solve the mystery next.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Galant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, it was a sad day for fans of the Baltimore Ravens, as well as the Indianapolis Colts to a certain extent. We'll start with Baltimore Ravens linebacker Jalen Ferguson died at 26 years old. I don't know how he died. I don't think that they're releasing details. Obviously, 26 is very, very young. And this was just really sad. A guy with all the potential in the world. And then the one that probably got a little more attention, Tony Siragusa, known as Goose, loved in those early Indianapolis teams in the 90s. And then, of course, won a Super Bowl with the Baltimore Ravens. Had a TV career. And I, you know, in a time before athletes all had social media and were able to build their brand, he was able to do it on media days. He was able to play up that Italian-ness. I believe he was in an episode of The Sopranos. So sad day. Two legends and two guys, you know, that are certainly with Goose and with Jalen. I mean, both of them, especially being 26, just gone too soon.
You know, I didn't realize how long it had been since we had seen Tony Siragusa on TV.
Good point.
But I just, so much of, when you think about football and football broadcasts, everybody has a handful of people that they think about when, you know, growing up or during this time, these are the people that I remember. Obviously, John Madden for a lot of us is going to be a guy who we remember both from actual football broadcasts. I don't remember him as a coach. Definitely remember him as a broadcaster, and I remember him from playing Madden. But Tony Siragusa is one of those guys, like the Goose. I mean, he was always doing sideline stuff. He had such a larger-than-life personality, and it was always everything. Every time they went to him, it was exciting because he made it so much fun. And so I was really sad to hear that, especially at only 55 years old. That's still – I turned 36, and Paul's been making fun of me because I call myself old. I feel old now that I'm 36.
Paul calls himself old at 33.
He is old,
which
at
is disturbing.
Though. Paul is a 50-year-old 30. Everybody thinks that Paul is this like he's this young hip guy because he's in his 30s and he's gallivanting around
he
the
just
world.
Drinks a lot.
Yeah, right. He's an old man at heart. I don't think people realize how old of a soul Paul really is. He's very grumpy. Get off my lawn.
Oh,
old
well,
man
grumpy
yells
for
guy.
Sure.
Yeah. Paul is, I don't know if you've ever seen the meme, the Hello Fellow Kids meme with what the guy that wears like the shirt that says it's like
Buscemi.
Yeah. Steve Buscemi in high school. Yeah. It's like, how do you do, fellow kids? He's got the skateboard on his back with the hat backwards. That's what Paul kind of is. Mostly.
See, and Paul tries to make me out to be that way because I like old music.
That's him projecting.
But in reality, yes. Wow. Oh, we have some material.
Yeah, that's him projecting. But yeah, Tony Siragusa's death, it kind of brought it back some nostalgia. I thought about some of my favorite Goose moments. But the Jalen Ferguson one is just really, really sad. Like, that's – at 26 years old, he was incredibly talented, but, like, he there was so much left on the table. His family has said that they want to keep everything private. They want to keep everything secret for right now. I'm sure at some point it'll come out. We'll find out exactly what happened. That stuff like that never stays secret for too terribly long.
Yeah, unless you're Bob Saget.
Right.
Any questions.
Yeah. But yeah, that one was a really sad one because, you know, you're a Ravens organization, all of your teammates, you just think you're going to come back to camp and the guy's going to be there. He's going to be ready to play. You're going to get to play against him or whatever it is. And then all of a sudden he's just gone. That one was really, really sad.
It was really sad. And I think, you know, Steve Bisciotti, the owner of the Ravens, put out, you know, a heartfelt statement of just how much he meant to the organization. And then Jim Irsay, of course, tweeted, he squeezed 20 fun-loving years into 55 years. And I think that's accurate. Yeah. This is a guy that was passionate, that was fun. And certainly big in the heart of Ravens fans for sure, as well as Colts fans. So rough day for one NFL franchise. You are starting to see more conversations about deaths in some of these guys that are 55, yeah. You know, in their early 50s, mid-50s. And you can never say for sure CTE or if it's unhealthy eating habits. There's a myriad of things, but it is becoming clear that these guys put their bodies through hell.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to a bunch of different offensive linemen, defensive linemen, guys like Wade Smith, Travis Johnson, and so many different guys where, you know, you see a lot of these offensive linemen technically or specifically, a lot of them lose a lot of weight when they get out because they have to make a concerted effort to go against what they had to do in the NFL. Because of the diets that they had to keep, I mean, keep eating 4,000, 5,000 calories a day just so they can keep the weight that they needed to keep while working out. And then whenever they get out of the NFL, if they keep trying to do that, they have to make a concerted effort to go against it. So you see a lot of offensive linemen, defensive linemen lose weight. But even you go look at guys that were wide receivers, that were running backs, a lot of them gain weight.
It's a good point.
Because they weren't on the same high calorie that the offensive linemen were. A lot of those diets are different. I think they're on such stringent diets when they're in the NFL.
Yeah.
They get out and they just kind of, they're not
you
working
out as
much.
You don't have a nutritionist. You don't have meal planners. Mm-hmm. You don't have, you know, somebody guiding all of your steps. Yeah,
right.
that's a great point.
Like you said, they're putting their bodies not just on the impact on the field and the games and in the practices, but just diet-wise, working out-wise, they're constantly putting their bodies through the ringer. I've done that for free my entire life. I could have gotten paid millions of dollars
for
it. I've just put my body through the ringer. Crazy.
Who hacked a local legend? Yesterday, Mark Berman of Fox 26 tweeted out, or at least his account did, "Hello, I have 3 PS5 that I will be selling to you guys for retail price to help raise money for St. Jude's Foundation. DM me to purchase." Mark Berman.
So good.
Listen, he has his, we'll say, idiosyncrasies. He has his oddities. There's an update 28 minutes ago. Still have one more PS5 for retail price. DM me to purchase.
All right.
All proceeds will go directly to charity.
Who bought those 2 PS5s?
Also, who hacked Mark Berman locally?
Yeah.
Is it another local news person who's maybe a little jealous? Is it another national reporter? Who hacked Mark Berman?
Well, I did see Jeremy Branham was messaging fake Mark Berman last night.
Ah.
And he was messaging him about the PS5s, trying to make it like a joke.
That's bold.
I feel like Jeremy's trying to throw people off of the scent. I feel like he's posting pictures of – he's just DMing himself from both accounts, one on his phone, one on his computer. My I'm just saying, Jeremy, I know he seems like a nice, upstanding guy. The Killer Bees are coming on after us. Sure. He's going to come in with his smiles. But he holds that baseball bat in a very menacing way for the person sitting next to him. And I don't think everything is – it's not all that meets the eye. I think there's more to Jeremy. I'm just saying we need to watch out for him.
Do you want to know what's bold? Messaging somebody that's been hacked.
Yeah.
I mean, am I wrong?
That was my first thought.
I do that all the time.
Really?
Yeah. I actually had a friend's Instagram account reached out to me. It's like, oh, I can't fully get into my account. The only way – you're the only friend I can see. The only way I can get my account unlocked is if you send me a code. Can I send you the link with the code? Give me your email address. I'll do that. I'm like, okay, that's hilarious. So he messaged me, absolutely messaged him back. And I started questioning him about all these different memories and stuff
and
that I have
with
my
nervous?
Friends. No, not even a little bit.
Sean, back me up on this.
Yeah, I would try to steer clear of...
Why? Just in DMs? They can't do anything just through a DM.
That's how they send you a link.
I don't know how hacking
works.
You
just don't click the links. That's the important thing.
I do know this. Double verification.
Yes.
Okay, that's what I have on my phone. And it alerts you if somebody tries to log in your account.
Yeah.
Even if they have the password. And you can approve or unprove it. Knock on wood, I have never been hacked.
Two-factor authentication is very
important. That's what I meant. Thank you. Two-factor.
Weirdly, I've been hacked a bunch of times. Is that strange?
Do you have two-factor?
Now I do.
Okay, but when you since you've had two-factor, you have not.
No, never been hacked. No, but it's mostly stuff like my PlayStation accounts and my Xbox accounts have been hacked and stolen.
If you want more Xbox.
Yeah, if you want a PS5.
Yeah, I can get a PS5 from the hacker.
Jeremy. I mean,
Jeremy? Mark?
I think it's Jeremy.
Mark?
Yeah.
Jeremy?
I think it's the same person.
The wars in Anchorman, the local news wars, we're just going to see that happen. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, guys, it's a big day for the Houston Rockets. What will they do and what will Kyrie do? That's next.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.